and it was a groaning board, as we said. There were lots of family there, and it was my grandfather was still alive then. He was 102, I think, or 103 at the time. He was down, and we were talking, and my uncle is my dad would have been 98 yesterday. His only brother, my Uncle Ken, is still around, and he loves to needle me just a little bit, not in a bad way, but he'd say something like, "Well, I see your boy didn't win the election," or whatever, you know. But I remember one Thanksgiving, he said, somebody said something about politics and war and whatever, and he said, "I've been in the war." He said, "I was in the Korean War, and I was in the war." He said, "I don't want to talk about that on Thanksgiving." And it was great. I mean, because it wasn't like a pronounced me. Just said, you know, I just really want to do it. So anyway, I started thinking about pairing books as gifts. If you have someone who likes football, and since Thanksgiving and football sort of go together in America. In fact, there was an article in the early 19th century that said Thanksgiving is done. It's now football day. And that was a while back, the early 1900s. So I thought of two books that really are should go together. Why We Love Football by Joe Posnanski, which you got before I did, and Joe was on. It's a fabulous book because you can read it in little bits of time. Very short essays. I think the longest one's about 5 pages long. And then Against Football, One Reluctant Fan's Manifesto by Steve Allman, looking at our fascination with with the game of football. The way, as he points out, sometimes you see a wreck on the highway and you just have to keep looking. You can't look away. So I thought about it. I said, you know, Why We Love Football is the appetizer in cocktail hour, right? It's perfect because they're little bites, like tapas plates. And Steve Allman talks turkey. I mean, he admits that he didn't stop watching football, but he had serious qualms and thoughts about it. And I would remind people the concussions are down 32% with the new helmets and the change in the rules, so hoping that's good. Then I thought there's always Uncle Al who would argue against both of those books in some way. So for Uncle Al, we're going to give him Collision of Wills Jack Gilden, the story of Johnny Unitas and Don Shula. And I thought that there's a way that those three books sort of all fit together. They're the great moments in Posnanski's book, The 100 Great Moments in Football, one of which involves two of the games in which Johnny Unitas and Don Shula were involved. But Against Football keeps us from looking too romantically at the game. So I thought those go together. Then I thought to myself, there are two books about the origins of the National Football League that people really ought to have. First, obviously, is President of the Creation by Upton Bell and Ron Borges from Nebraska. We've talked Upton many times. There's a book I'm going to mention in a little bit where much of Burt Bell's story is encapsulated in some smaller essays that not only amplify and give a new look at or a different look at Upton's recollections, but points out that without Burt Bell, there is no NFL as we see today. And the great thing about it is that Upton, as we know from talking to Upton very often, you ask Upton a question, you'll get an answer. It's a very straightforward, very honest book. And I think it pairs really well with Dick Kripo's NFL Football, A History of America's Newest National Pastime. Both books are University Press's. President of the Creation, Upton's book, is from Nebraska, and NFL Football is from Illinois. What's really interesting is that Kripo, Dick, is a great, in addition to being a great guy, is a sport historian and is a very highly regarded sport historian and writes a lot on the NFL. His look at the history of the NFL looks at the NFL both as an entity and and how it functions in society. And I think a lot of people don't often get that. You know, we get the whole thing the way they are now with Goodell, and it's all about billions of dollars and this and that. Both Dick and Upton write about a time when football teams were owned by football people. not by hedge fund guys or billionaires who can buy a team just for their what they want to do. And to understand the Maras and the Rooneys and the Bells and the, those early guys, and even George Preston Marshall, who was an abominable human being, the way that they envisioned a football league and the, where it is now, knowing how we got there is, I think, something that's good to learn. Then there's a book called A Game of Passion, the NFL Literary Companion, edited by John Wabish and Brian Silverman from Turner Publishing. It is real. I said this is a great one to read between naps. Like Posnansky's book, the essays in it are fairly short. They're a little longer than most of the ones in Joe's book. But they take a look at the NFL and its history and what it means to us from 100 million different angles. You know, I think there's this in Joe Posnansky's book, this incredible story about Al Michaels and John Madden calling the last game together, which is really wonderfully written and really engaging. A Game of Passion is a book full of essays like that. And there's a lot of cross-pollination between, like, Phil Musick, the great writer from Pittsburgh. But not everybody is a nonfiction fan. So the remaining two books on my list are two books of fiction, two novels. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain.
Oh, boy, that was good.
One of the best sports novels I've ever read. And End Zone by Don DeLillo, which is also a tremendous book. And the funny thing is, they're both books with a lot of humor, and they're both books with just devastating insight. And it rocks you sometimes. You're reading along, you're laughing, and then you get to halftime, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, and the whole thing changes. Now, that book by Ben Fountain is from a HarperCollins imprint called Echo. I don't even remember End Zone, Don DeLillo, who did that. But those are books that were written a while back. What's really interesting, and I think maybe it's writers were like this. You read something and then you say to yourself 20 years later, wow, that was a really prescient book. That prefigured what was going to happen. And then because I was thinking about that when we were talking to Elizabeth Stroud, and I mentioned that I've read her book Abide With Me several times, and that everyone I've ever given that book to has gone, wow. And it's not her best-known novel by any stretch. It was her second novel, and it's a phenomenal book. This is what I think is the other thing about these books. They're all books that will stimulate conversation, that will stimulate thought. You know, they may bring about arguments, but I can't help you on that. And so what we're going to do next week, I think we're going to do Hoops and Hockey.
Nice.
And then after that, we'll do a mixture of skiing, curling, running, cycling, many of the other areas that we've done. And hopefully if anybody wants any more information, again, you can just go to the University of Maine website, find the part-time faculty, click on my email, and I'll be happy to send you details. If you didn't get all of this, be more than happy to provide people with that, because I like authors to sell books.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you, Bruce.
That was fun.
Sportslit 101 every Wednesday here on Downtown. We've got 20 minutes to go before the top of the hour, cruising towards 6 o'clock tonight. Bruce talks with UMaine hockey coach Ben Barr in just a couple of minutes. Our most recent conversation with actor-director Tim Matheson coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day, the guy we were just talking about, Joe Posnansky, discussing why we love football. Entertainer Donny Osmond, Friday John Shields, previews Maine hockey, Mighty John Marshall, Danny Cashman of The Night Show, Sarah Morneau from Tiller and Rye. Next week, Chad Finn. By the way, man, oh man, we were chatting about it. Chad's, we talked with him a week ago today. He was here because he was up in Orono talking with Montego Moss and Maine coaches and players for a piece in the Globe, and it came out today. And what a wonderful piece on Montego.
It was, and there were some wonderful things that I learned. He and John Costanza have been roommates for 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't happen a lot in college, right? And the fact that it is true that if you see him walking on campus, which I have a couple of times, everybody seems to know him.
Right.
And he seems to Tego. Smile and talk about, yeah, Tego, right? And it's not that kind of thing like, you know, the Notre Dame quarterback is walking down
right.
the
no.
path. He just seems to be about as normal and as focused and as grounded a guy as there is. You know, I mean, I really, and Chad just captured it all. He's such a good writer. Yeah.
Check it out at Boston.com. Chad Finn on Maine Football's Montego Moss. We'll take a little break. Back to talk some hockey with Ben Barr right after this.
Hi, this is Allison Arngrim. You know me as Evil Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimball.